views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You are listening to From Here to There Radio, demystifying the journey with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Do you feel stuck moving forward? Are you ready for a life you love? Diane is dedicated to helping you be in alignment with your purpose. If you are ready for creating positive change in your life, here is your host of From Here to There Radio, Diane Garris.
Welcome to the program. I'm your host, Diane Garris. The song intro you just heard is from my song, Mystics 9, from my latest album, the award-winning Mystics 9, available wherever music is sold or streamed. You can find out more about my body of work, New Age music, meditations, angel cards, self-help books, readings, and more at dianegarris.com, freeangelcardreadings.com, and spameditations.com. We have a really special guest today, so let's get right to it.
Please join me in welcoming the astro-fabulous astrologer extraordinaire, Nadia Shaw, to the program. Welcome, Nadia. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, everybody. I'm really grateful to be here.
We're excited to have you on. I have a bazillion questions, Nadia. But before we jump right into the interview, I want to give our audience a little background on you. Nadia Shaw is named one of the top 12 astrologers on the entire planet by French Vanity Fair, who crowned her as a pioneer in video astrology. She's an internationally syndicated astrologer, author, television, and internet personality, and is one of the few people in the world to hold an MA in the Cultural Study of Cosmology and Divination from the University of Kent in the United Kingdom. And Nadia is also the creator of AstroFabulous.com, where she has syndicated horoscopes offered in video format. AstroFabulous.com is read in magazines and found on websites around the world, including her own website, NadiaShaw.com. Her videos are available for watching on many video sharing sites, including YouTube. Friends and fans of her work have described her horoscopes as inspiring, hopeful, and spookily accurate. Nadia is also an author, and her latest book is Astrology Realized, Your Journey to Understanding Astrology, which introduces people to the foundational knowledge of astrology, which ensures the reader of a solid understanding for a lifetime practice. And Nadia is also the producer and host of Synchronicity Web TV, celebrating astrology and the new age. The station features conversations with notable people, exploration of places and events in the fields of astrology, new age, spirituality, and art. Nadia's YouTube channel is Nadia Shaw, and it's consistently one of the top 5 most watched astrology channels on YouTube, which easily makes her the most watched Canadian astrologer online. Nadia, you're amazing.
Thank you.
My first thing, Nadia is such a beautiful name. I think your name means hope. Is that right? Is it hope?
There's always some variation, but it always sort of is rooted in that idea of hope. Yeah. But my name, basically, it is, okay, if you think about being in a desert, right? You're in a desert and you can't see anything. All you see is desert, but you can hear a voice in the distance that lets you know that nearby there is an oasis. So that voice is Nadia. So that's the name of that voice that lets you know that there is life, there is something beyond just what you're seeing that's going to be a place of rest and hope and refuge for you. And I think that is so, it's incredible how we come to embody our names, because I would like to think that that's kind of like what my work is to in some way inspire people and to guide people and just to remind them that regardless of how things might look, how barren or how challenging they might look in a particular moment, in the bigger picture, And if they allow themselves, they'll know that there is better, that there's more, that there's a sense of belonging and refuge that is there for all of us. So I hope that my work is part of that in some way.
I actually find your work to be so, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on today. So I'm really curious, Nadia. Your bio says you're one of the few people in the world to hold this MA degree from the University of Kent. Why are you one of the few? Was it like a special program or?
So what happened was, for the last about 250 years or so, astrology has not been a part of Western universities. So it's still offered as a subject, sort of as a social science in India. And so you can study it at the university level there. But as far as Western universities go, it sort of coincided with the discovery of Uranus, that astrology sort of left Western universities. And what happened was, way back in 2004, there was this movement to bring astrology back into Western academia. And that led to the launch of four programs in 2006, which were two in England and two in the U.S. And so basically, I had the good fortune of being able to go to one of these MA programs in the U.K. Today, the programs have kind of morphed. There's one that is offered in the U.S. I think it's at Pacifica University. In the U.K., the program that I was at is still in Canterbury, but at a different university. And then the other program in England is now available online through the University of Wales. So because it has been such a new thing to bring astrology back into the establishment of Western universities, is part of the reason why there have been not as many people who've been able to access this or, you know, have the opportunity to take these programs. So I was very fortunate that I was one of the first people to be part of this movement, and to actually complete the program too is a really big deal, because people can start, but then actually doing the work and completing it can be another challenge in itself. And so I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity not only to begin the program, but to complete it and to secure the degree.
Thanks for explaining that, because I was really wondering. So inquiring minds really want to know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're an Aquarius sun sign and a Sag moon, or is it a Sag rising?
Yeah, that's right. A Sag moon and Aquarius sun. Yeah. When I'm asked, I always share that stuff, but I try not to, because I feel like I want people to see themselves, right? I would prefer that. But of course, I do share it from time to time when I'm asked about myself. And I have an Aquarius sun, a Sag moon, and a Cancer rising. So I can relate to people in so many different ways, you know? It's great.
Yeah, that is a really interesting mix. But see, I had to do a whole lot of digging to find out information.
Exactly.
So I know it's not something that you share all the time, but interesting mix. And I'm just figuring out, like, what, because I'm sort of taught myself a little bit about astrology because I noticed certain patterns repeating in my life. And I was like, okay, so I want to kind of back up a little bit and go to where you really started this journey, because we talked about your education, but when you're a child, you're 14, I think it was, you went to this festival and you had hired to read poems, I think. And then I think also,
you have done your research. Good for you.
Yeah. I think you also taught yourself tarot as well. So kind of walk us through that whole 14-year-old Nadia and, tell us all about that, please.
Sure. So basically, I should say that I come from a family, my ancestry, like going way back, we can trace like astrologers and mystics and people who practiced various forms of esotericism, like going way back, hundreds and hundreds of years, we can trace that lineage in my ancestry. And so in my family, it was always like sort of supported this idea of being intuitive and being spiritual and having your own like sort of spiritual feeling, and trusting that was something that was supported. And then you add to this, like my aunts, especially on both sides of my family, they all like loved going to astrologers and psychics and all that kind of stuff. And so they were always like sort of going out and doing this and getting insights from other people. And so when I was 14, what happened was there's this festival in Toronto that happens every year, sort of the last 3 weeks of the summer. And it's called the Canadian National Exhibition. And the way that they used to do it back in the day, right, you actually had to go in person. And they would have this fair, like a one-day job fair. And basically you'd get like all these people showing up, mostly kids, right? Mostly kids were, you know, in school and stuff, off for the summer. You get all these people showing up, and then they'd have all these jobs on the board, and you would just take one of the cards and it would tell you what table to go to. So it was all very kind of automated. And that's what I did. I went, I saw a card. It didn't say what it was for. I went to the table and they basically just hired me on the spot. And they gave me a sheet of paper and they said, okay, learn this and you're going to start tomorrow. And it had a picture of a hand with arrows on it saying like, if this line goes up here, it means this. If it goes down here, it means this. And so I learned it. And I remember like that 3 weeks when I worked, I was just constantly told that I was good at what I was doing. I would literally read like 50, 75 hands a day. I would just be going through hands, you know, doing these quick readings. And so after that was over, that summer stint was over, and I went back to school. And it was around that time that my family members started giving me astrology books. They were just like, you know, I think you're going to be good at this here. And I just started attracting these astrology books in my life, mostly through family. And then when I was a little bit older, about 19, it was my Aunt Shireen who did two big things for me, really big things. So one was she literally put a tarot deck in my hand. And that evening, I was doing readings for her friends and her clients because she worked as an esthetician out of her apartment. And so like literally like two people would come, one friend was getting a facial and I would be reading tarot cards for the other friend. And so that was how that started. And the other thing that she did to me right around the same time, or for me rather, was she bought me my very first, it was like sort of a computer printout of a natal chart reading. And so this was the first time that I had seen my own chart or had an interpretation of my chart. And I was just blown away at how accurate it was. That it just felt like my life and who I am on printout, on these 40 computer printout pages. And it was this very revelatory thing for me. And it was after that that I really started studying astrology much more seriously. And I remember as a kid, when I was in school and I was working at Walmart, like, you know, a lot of kids do. There were a lot of us who were young people there. It was a lot of fun, you know, and I remember during the down times when there weren't that many customers, I would read the charts of my coworkers and I'd be, you know, giving them interpretations. And so it just kind of evolved very organically. Like I was reading charts for years, whatever environments I would find myself in. And then after a while, people started offering to pay me. And at first it was like, I'll give you $5, I'll give you $10, I'll buy you dinner. And so I was doing it like that. And then it just really evolved so naturally to become what it is today. And now I've been in astrology full time for about over 12 years now. I've been a full time astrologer now. So it's been an amazing journey. And I, you know, I really think my life is so blessed. It really is a life that suits me very well, given the type of spirit I am. And it's astrology that has allowed this. And I didn't know any of this way back when I was 14 and 15 and 19 and I was doing this. To me, it was just, it was something that felt so natural. It was like, it was almost second nature to do it. And so I really do feel that astrology is one of those things that it chooses you. To be an astrologer, you sort of have to be willing to be a little out there, you know, to be seen a little on the fringes of sometimes by some people. But, you know, when it chooses you, you got to honor that call. And I think that's what happened with me.
We have to take a short break and we will be right back with astrologer Nadia Shaw.
Thank you. The knowledge book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the knowledge book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on transformationtalkradio.com.
Welcome back. We're here with astrologer Nadia Shaw. So, Nadia, before the break, we were talking about astrology chooses you. And I read this quote of yours online when I was doing my research about your love for the stars, which was, I love looking at the stars and I would feel them in my heart. I really feel like your heart-centered love for the stars shows through in your videos. My question is, do you think people are born with some innate idea what they came here to do? And if so, does this show up in a chart? Like, if you look at your chart now, do you see, you know, in hindsight, oh, yes, this astrologer vocation is what I was supposed to do? Do you see it in someone's chart in that way?
That's a great question. So I have observed a lot of children, and I remember as a child, like sort of feeling a connection to the stars and the moon. You know, you kind of look up and there's a sense of wonder and beauty and possibility that you feel that is kind of, that feels like it connects very deeply within us. And I have observed this in a lot of children. But also, yes, I remember that within myself as well, very clearly at a very young age, feeling that connection and loving looking at the moon and feeling that bond. Now, as far as can you see what direction this person is going to go in? So there's a few ways to see that the chart in that regard, because I think that a lot of times what it is an archetype. And so if you think about it, like the archetype of an astrologer, there can be so many ways to understand astrology. Like astrology is big enough for a lot of different approaches. And so some people approach their astrology sort of very analytically, and they like a lot of the calculations and things like that. Others do it from a more intuitive space as well. But I do think that you can see charts sometimes with people who have a strong sense of destiny. You can see what type of archetypal roles and connections they feel towards fulfilling that destiny, and what approaches that they are going to take. And so for me, the way that I approach things is very mystically inclined. And so I, like in my own spirit, I feel myself to be more of a mystic. And so astrology is an esoteric practice, and it can be a mystical practice as well. And so it allows me the vehicle to express that mysticism and that hope and that what I call love and wisdom that I truly believe in so deeply to be the core of our nature. And I feel like I'm here to affirm that. And so we can see that absolutely. And then sometimes you'll see other charts where people are a little bit more like jack of all trades, or they'll have varying different interests. And so it becomes about helping people to become aware of how to bring an integration so that they can create some forward momentum for themselves. But yes, some people, absolutely, they have that sense of destiny. And you can see, like, for example, if you see a very strong Leo signature in a chart, so I'm thinking about things like you've got planets in Leo in the ninth or 10th house, a midheaven in Leo as an example. And I know that this might be a little bit more technical than some of your listeners, but for anybody who has some idea of charts, they're going to understand what I mean by this, by these placements. So Leo is a sign of the performer, and it's the sign of royalty, right? And so in some way, this person is going to integrate these qualities of performance and being the best and being a leader. And so how they're going to bring that about, well, you want to look at some other things as well. Like you want to look at how strongly placed is Venus in regards to that. That's going to bring in a love for the arts and a more artistic expression. If you've got Jupiter more connecting with that, making aspects then that's going to bring that expression more in alignment with teaching and politics and philosophy. And so in these ways, you can start getting more specific to help people to move forward and to guide people. But I would also add, you know, one thing I think we often overlook in terms of understanding what this person could do, how they could feel a sense of fulfillment, a connection with their life purpose. I think a huge symbol is actually the moon in the chart. And so the moon, like we have our sun, and our sun is how it is that we find ourselves and our core and our inner power and how we bring forward qualities in this lifetime that we really like about ourselves. But our moon is our comfort zone. It's where it is that we feel most at ease. We feel a sense of equilibrium within us on a level of emotion, on a level of spirit. And so honoring the moon and in some way providing a pathway so that people can express their moon, I think is very important as well to helping a person feel as if they are living in alignment with a life purpose for their life. But I would also say, you know, wherever you are right now in your life, it is part of your life purpose. It is part of where it is that you are supposed to be. And I think that sometimes we forget that in our mundane lived experience and expression, that there is, if we're willing to see it, there is some perfection to what is playing out in our lives right now.
I love that. Thank you. So like in your chart, you have Sag moon, that's gregarious and that's out there with people like that, right? So you can go back and sort of see where this was all supposed to happen. And then my next question really is, and I told you my mother was an astrologer, and
yes,
so she wanted us to have a kind of a group family reading. So she sort of dragged us to this astrologer, and this astrologer looked at my chart and basically said, this is a horrible lifetime.
Well, look, like I said, it's, you can't have astrology without the astrologer. And at the end of the day, the astrologer is seeing themselves, you know, in the chart.
I really didn't even know what she was talking about, only that things have been pretty challenging. And I guess now, having taught myself a little, enough to be dangerous, I know that that is all about Saturn, you know, Saturn placement. And so what she said to me additionally was, because I said to her, so this is a horrible lifetime. Does it have to be a horrible lifetime? Can't I, right? Because I had Aquarius rising, Nadia, so I get the bigger picture. And
yeah.
I have a kind of world view. So I have an optimistic viewpoint. So I wasn't willing to sort of go into this is a horrible lifetime scenario. And she said to me, well, that's just what the chart says. And so I said to her, I remember that, I was kind of quite young, and I said, well, what do you mean the chart says? I said, don't I have a choice in how this shapes up? So my question to you is, how much of it that's written in our chart, and I would like to personally think I've overcome that, you know, this is a horrible lifetime thing. It's a bit challenging, but I say I didn't like the fatalistic approach to this as sort of a horrible, doomed lifetime. How much of it is fate? How much of it, so let's say in my example, you know, I have Saturn all over my everything. I chose to look at Saturn as a business partner instead of Saturn as the doom of my life. Now, does that make sense to you?
That's a great way to look at Saturn, yeah. And remember, Saturn gets things done. Saturn doesn't have to be a bad thing. But basically, when you think about it, a few thoughts come to mind based on your question. So one is, one thing that a lot of people don't know about me, don't realize me, but about me, but I have a very strong Saturn in my chart as well. And I mean, most people never see that. They never realize that because I have my Sag moon and that's how I approach my work. And I feel very much like what I do. It's about putting my heart into it and creating a community, creating a family online. So it's so much of my moon that you see in my work and what I do. But the thing is that in order to, you know, make any gains, in order to actually ensure that your actions count for something, yes, you need Saturn, because Saturn allows you to honor our incarnation. It allows you to honor that we are physical beings. And yes, we have a spiritual self and a spiritual life, but we are on earth and in these incarnations for a reason. And so Saturn helps us to tap into what that unique reason may be for us. Now, the other part of this, based on what you were sharing and asking, you know, it comes down to this idea of fate and free will, right? This is something that is an eternal point of discussion among astrologers, certainly. But I like to think of it, you know, I would go back and defer to Ptolemy. So Ptolemy lived about 2,000 years ago. He wrote the foundational text to Western astrology, which is called Tetrabiblos. You can read it online. And he also made, you know, tremendous contributions that are still studied in terms of astronomy as well. Because back then, it was the same thing. Like, you couldn't study astronomy without contemplating the deeper spiritual significance, which is what astrology is. And so in this book, Tetrabiblos, he talks about how so much of who we become, like half of the equation is the planets, is the stars. But the other half is the culture we're born into and the families that we're born into. So even back then, he's putting it at like 50-50, right? He's saying like, yes, the stars are going to indicate something about what comes of your life, but there's this whole other part of it as well that has to do with, especially in that time, it was very much about what family you were born into determined your entire life. We didn't really have free will like 2,000 years ago. You were born into a family and they decided, and based on what they did for a living, that's what you were going to do. If your family had a farm and they raised goats, you were going to raise goats too. And your family decided who you were going to marry as well, right? So that's why even back then he's putting it at 50-50. And so I like to think of astrology having been something that's evolved. Astrology is a living practice, and it responds to the culture it finds itself in. It responds to the time it finds itself in so that it can be what it is that the people need within that specific context. And so if you look at where we are now in much of the world, you know, it's very much about becoming more aware and taking ownership for your life and figuring out the best way forward for you and moving towards whatever it is that you feel you want to amplify in this lifetime. And that is very much about free will. And so I like to think that astrology, especially modern astrology, has become more about how to better exercise your free will based on using the chart in a way that is ultimately to your advantage.
I absolutely love that. Thank you. One of the things I want to discuss when we come back from the break is why I was attracted to your videos in the first place, because you say things like Venus is having a conversation with Pluto, okay, instead of going, these two things are colliding and crazy-making. All right, so we have to take a break, and we will be right back with astrologer Nadia Shaw.
Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Healing beyond symptom management into true wellness with Jessica Dooley on Purely You Radio. Tune in every third Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific as Jessica guides you to find and embrace your purest self. Not the self that is shown on social media, not the self that is created in your family's eyes, but your purest version of you. Purely You Radio supports true wellness, not just symptom management. For more information about working with Jessica Dooley, visit purelyyouhealing.com.
Back from our break, and we are speaking with astrologer Nadia Shaw. Nadia, I have a question for you about using astrology for timing.
I mean, I kind of know a little, like I said, a little enough to be dangerous. But I think, you know, in the new year here, when is the best time for someone to launch something? And I think astrologers say right after the new moon or so. But let's say you launch something in the right after the new moon or whenever the, you can tell me what the best time is. But what happens if that doesn't, maybe that doesn't work? And then why doesn't it work? And so when's the best time for us to launch something new? And then what if it doesn't work? Then we do the next new moon or do we look at other aspects?
Okay. So basically, your question has to do with a branch of astrology that's called electional astrology. And that has to do with sort of like the best timing for different things. And the thing is, though, it's never going to be perfect, right? It's never going to be 100%. Of course, you want to look at what you're starting, right? So in general, one of the principles behind electional astrology is you want to begin something with a strong moon. So it's got to have a good moon because moon is the connection with the people. And so for people to respond to it, you want, yes, they say after a new moon, but you have to also look at the sign that the moon is in at this given time and choose a moon that is going to encapsulate certain qualities and energies that you want to magnify. But here's the thing. A couple of things come to mind. One is, you know, I remember when I was starting my website, like that's the launch of my full-time career, the launch of my business. That was September 1st, 2006. And I remember I just knew I had to do it. And I remember kind of looking at the chart a little bit, like, you know, sort of considering it, but not really. Like, it wasn't like I said, oh, I've got to make sure that the moon is in this sign and this is happening or whatever. It was just like, this has to happen and this has to happen right now. And so I could feel it in my spirit and I was going to trust that. And so I always tell people to trust themselves above and beyond anything else. Because ultimately, that's leading you to your karmic learning. But the thing is, like I said, it's never going to be 100%. There's always something that's great happening in the sky. There's always something that's a little bit more challenging happening in the sky. But what you want to do ideally is to have it be as good as possible. And it depends, like I said, it depends what it is. If you are starting something that is connected to a new beginning or a new venture, then it makes sense. You know, do it after a new moon. Do it when the moon is visible but growing because you want the response and the love and the emotional connection to grow. However, if you are doing something, and you could think of a lot of things that we do that we want less of, right? You want to do that after a full moon while the moon is waning. Like, for example, I'll give you an example, filing your taxes. Now, we don't always have a choice when we file our taxes. We got to do it according to deadlines and figure out the best way forward. However, I like to think that something like filing taxes, you want to do that after a full moon because you want it sort of to be done, right? Now, of course, it depends. If you're looking for a huge payout, you think you're going to get a huge payout, it's one thing. But for a lot of people, they're actually having to pay taxes. And so if you're one of those people who has to pay taxes, you want it to be done, you want to pay less, you want it to be even less important in your life, then you want to wait until after the full moon. And so in these ways, you try to align the best you can. And also, like I said, with a business that you're doing, what is your business, right? If you're opening a restaurant, you want the moon to be especially strong. You want the moon to be in the sign of Cancer or the sign of Taurus. These are the signs that really enjoy food and eating, right? If it's a nightclub, you want the moon to be in Leo or Sagittarius. And a lot of businesses actually do well with a moon in a sign like Sagittarius because it is so expansive. But it has to be something that in some way is, you know, amplifying a good feeling. And if you are doing something like a health specialty, you're opening a clinic or something like that, well, then you might want a different type of moon. But you have to figure out what your business identity is in order to ground it in a good moon. But as a general principle, I always advise people, like, some really good signs for the moon are Taurus and Cancer. Those are the best signs for the moon to be in because the moon is very strong. And especially if it's a money-making venture, you can try to have the moon in the sign of Taurus. That's always a good bet. But like I said, it's never going to be 100%. You might have the moon perfectly placed, and that's amazing. But then you've got Mercury doing something wonky over here. And that may mean that, you know, you have to pay attention, or you're always going to have to watch how you communicate, or your website may be issued from time to time, you know? So you have to, yeah. You take it with a grain of salt. You do your best, and then you trust your karmic journey. Because then there's this whole other layer about what's happening in your chart right now. Like, in general, they would say if you're going through a really hard transit of Pluto or Saturn, it's not necessarily the best time to be starting new things, new ventures like that. However, the thing is, it depends what you're hoping to get out of it. And like for me, I started my business with Pluto conjunct my moon. Pluto is conjunct my moon. Now, that tends to be a time of like elimination, but it gave me a lot of power. And I've actually noticed this with a lot of people, like when they are really making strides, when they're on the path they're supposed to be on, and they're making really big strides, there can be something happening with Pluto, a hard transit happening with Pluto, that is telling them, give your all, you know, just put it all out there. Leave it all on the floor, as they say, right? Just put your all. Right. And then that ends up being a truly rewarding journey, because it isn't necessarily about things being hard. It's about them being changed and transformed and focusing and giving all that they have and knowing that this is a fated journey for them, because Pluto also has to do with fate as well. So there are layers to take into consideration. But look, if you've started something and you're finding it isn't really working the way that you want, no worries. You know, if it's not really working, start again. Start another project or something. Do a relaunch. Like, these are things that you can do. I would also say, you know, Richard Tarnas has written this amazing book called Cosmos and Psyche. And it is one of those, you know, reference books that a whole lot of people out there know, especially once you are serious about astrology, you know. And in this book, a lot of this book is really about considering what happens in people's lives during Uranus and Jupiter transits, how powerful it can be when Uranus and Jupiter are involved in a given endeavor. And so looking at December, right around December 15th of this coming year, or of this year that we have begun, we have a beautiful and rare trine of Jupiter and Uranus. Jupiter is going to be in the sign of Capricorn by then, which is a sign of success and authority, being the boss, being recognized. It's a sign of reward. And Uranus is going to be in the sign of Taurus, which is a sign of money, and it has to do with prosperity. And so if there is anything new that you're hoping to start, all else being equal, make sure you check the moon and that it aligns with what it is that you are wanting to do. But if there is something really big and something really new you're hoping to launch, I would say if you can, and if it feels right to you, you know, try to hold out till we get to December, because it is going to be in December that we've got that very powerful trine taking place, which is going to bring just a beautiful and very fortunate, very, very lucky energy. Like, it is rare and it is a very fortunate energy. And I don't know what I'm going to start, but already I'm thinking, what can I start in December? I remember like one of the things I started years ago in 2011, under the conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus, I launched something called personalized horoscopes. Now, I don't really offer these anymore, because what happened was they ended up being so hugely popular that, I mean, I launched this and immediately, I remember like in the first 2 days, I had something like 50 orders. I was shocked at how many orders came in. But what ended up happening with these is so many orders would come in that I couldn't fill them. And then I would raise my prices. And then it would happen. So many orders would come in, I'd raise my price again, And the orders just would not stop. And it got to a point where there were too many orders for me to reasonably do with the time that I have. And so I ended up having to make a change and go in a different direction. But that really showed me the power of Jupiter and Uranus together, especially when they're transiting. So, you know, again, I don't know what I'm going to launch, what I'm going to be doing. I have some ideas of stuff that I want to do, but you can bet you'll see something new from me in December.
December 2019, right?
19, so, yes. December 2019.
Yeah. So, see, I've been sort of following your videos for about 10 years. And so I know that your own journey has come.
Wow, you've been there from the beginning. Thank you, Diane. You've been there from the very beginning. Because I did recently celebrate 10 years on YouTube. Wow. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. And what I just liked the way that you were articulating things, which was quite different and is still quite different than what a lot of other astrologers are doing. But my point was is that I actually watched you go through a lot of morphing and doing different things, because I think in the beginning you were interviewing other astrologers, then you kind of morphed now into doing your own more, and then you have your Synchronicity University, you have your web TV. Now, do you do any personal readings anymore, Nadia, or no?
I have a waiting list right now, but mainly my work is centered around a community that I've created online called Superstar.
Yeah.
And it is within that space that there are exclusive videos every week, and there's a lot of interaction that happens there. And it will be that what I call my superstars, they will post their charts, and we will discuss it together, and I'll give my feedback as well. So that's sort of the environment in which I'm currently focusing on. As far as one-on-one readings, there's just a waiting list on that. But I would, you know, of course, I hope that people feel that connection and that personal attention and that sense of insight through being a superstar and being in that space. And, of course, in my YouTube videos as well. Ultimately, these are omens that we are in the middle of, right? That we are part of facilitating.
We have to take a short break right now, but when we come back, I want to hear more about that. And then I want to also get into more of the astrology of 2019 so people know what to expect. So we'll take a short break, and we will be right back with astrologer Nadia Shaw.
Holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Dream on, fly high, and live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Laura Meeks guides you in finding your unique gifts and bringing them to life. As a certified life coach, speaker, and veteran bomber pilot for the U.S. Air Force, Laura knows how to follow a dream. She is ready to support you so you can dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. For more information on Laura and her work, visit flyhighliving.com.
Have you ever wondered how you might feel differently if the books were full of her instead of him? What if your history lesson was filled with powerful women leaders and rulers? As a woman, would you feel more empowered? As a man, would you see women differently? I'm Megan Edge. I'd love for you to join me on my radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope to see you there.
Are you willing to challenge everything you've been taught about life and death? Join Angie Corbett-Kuyper on her hit show, Beyond Grief Radio, redefining loss and grief as Angie shares through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that creating anything is possible, even in death. Tune in every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information or to listen to past shows, visit AngieCorbettKuyper.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
And we are back with astrologer Nadia Shaw. Nadia, I think you used astrology to lose 100 pounds.
Did I mention that somewhere? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I did lose a lot of weight at the time, and then life changed, and then I gained weight, and now I've lost weight again. So I'm back to my normal weight again. And so there's always a deeper layer of learning. But yes, at that time, I remember I was really tapping into the aspects I was having. I had some very strong Pluto aspects taking place. And that did help me at the time, for sure, to just really focus and to make it happen. And I was very, very focused on that. But when I lost weight this time, it was a very different experience. And I truly believe that the reason that I gained weight a few years ago was so that I could really understand certain spiritual lessons that were for me to know. And to get to the place where I am now, because I'll tell you, like, this time, it was such a different experience of losing weight. It was before, I mean, I just really focused, and it really was over the period of about 9 months that I lost 100 pounds. And it was just my focus and my determination, and I was running like crazy and all of that. And I was overdoing it. You know, I was a little obsessed. That's what Pluto is. And I thought I was being healthy. And then I became unhealthy later on because Saturn was moving through my sixth house of health. And I started having serious health challenges. And I wasn't getting the help that I needed. I was dilly-dallying. I wasn't honoring Saturn. And so I ended up gaining pretty much all the weight back. And I did this in front of everybody in my videos. But I realized so many things. Like, I realized how much my audience means to me. I realized that beauty is not about weight. And what it is that my unique beauty is, we all have a unique beauty. We all have that thing about us. Whatever that is for me, it's not about my weight. It's about what it is that I have to share. And I realized that no matter how I'm feeling inside within myself, there's something I can still give to others. There's some way in which I can strive to find something good when I'm feeling like nothing is good. I can still find something good. So this time when I lost weight, it was a very different experience. I went to see the right specialist. My hormones were totally out of whack. And so I went to an endocrinologist and she said, okay, this is what we know works. This is the medication. If you take the medication, you'll be fine. You know, you just have to trust and you just have to keep taking it and you keep going. And like literally the weight that I've lost now has happened so slowly, you know, like it's almost imperceptible if you watch week to week to see it. It's been so slow, but that's been great. You know, it's been really amazing. It's like literally been like 1 to 2 pounds a month is how it's happened. And I haven't changed anything. I eat in a balanced way. I'm not like overly focused on what I'm eating. I eat chocolate every day. And it's just about being grateful to be able to walk and be able to move and those things. And to realize that my worth is not connected to my weight. That has been the huge spiritual lesson to me. And, you know, like I remember when I had gained weight this time a few years ago, and I remember how shocked I was to be able to still engage people and how surprising it was that I would have these moments like, oh my God, that person was respectful to me. And then it was like, of course, because I had some belief inside of me that felt that I wouldn't be respected just because I was overweight. And so I got a chance to heal that belief, which was so old and so deep. It was like from my childhood, you know, I got a chance to really heal that childhood stuff. And it really helped me to realize that there are such an intricate way in which our spiritual lessons play out. And yes, I'm sharing and I'm part of a voice of love and wisdom in the world, I'd like to think, but I'm also still learning. I'm learning right along with everybody else. I'm going through my journey just like anybody else. And it was good to show that humanity as well, to show that part of me and so many other spiritual lessons. But yeah.
Exactly, because I think you look beautiful in every video, and I wanted to bring the weight up because it's a new year, and people often make these resolutions about losing weight, so I wanted to kind of touch on that because of that. So tell us, you know, so how people can connect with you. I know you have your Synchronicity University that I wanted to mention. Tell people how they can become a superstar and get really involved with your teachings. So how do they find all of this?
So Synchronicity University is my online school. it's synchronicityuniversity.com or my website, NadiaShaw.com. There are a lot of classes I've taught there before that are available for instant download, or they can sign up for live classes as they come up as well and join live, interactive in real time. My YouTube channel, NadiaShaw.com, as you mentioned, is another great space to be in touch. I love interacting with people on YouTube as well. And of course, the Superstars space, as I mentioned, I do a lot of special horoscopes, and I basically create these extended weekly video scopes for each and every sign, and that's available to Superstars. And I create special horoscopes as well when there are big astrological happenings, like the most recent were the 2019 videos. And so Superstars get unlimited access to the special horoscopes as well. So there's a lot of stuff. I would love to meet you guys online. You can check out my website, NadiaShaw.com, and there's a lot there as well.
I visited your website. It's just beautiful. And I think you probably just upgraded and changed that this year, right?
We are in the process. We are in the process. Yeah. I've been working so hard with an incredibly talented designer, and we are literally redoing the whole thing, creating a whole new Superstar experience. It's so much fun to be a part of, but you've already started seeing some changes, but there are going to be even bigger changes in the weeks ahead. So let me know how what you think, how it goes. I look forward to that.
Yeah, oh, it's so beautiful. So, Nadia, I love the way that you do your videos because you describe the transits, but you always in your videos, you seem to include some major universal wisdom that we can carry away with us past a specific transit. So one video that struck me recently, really struck a chord, was the one for the beginning of October, and it was the Pluto direct and Venus goes retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
My point about this particular video, Nadia, was you were talking about people healing their old wounds and why it's so important to assimilate this now. What I'm hoping is that this is still applicable as we come into 2019. Can you address some of that?
Well, look, the thing is, the universe will always give us opportunities to heal the past so that we can move into a more authentic future, not one that is based on our wounds, but one that is based more on what it is that we've been created to do. So that is something that is always there, but the universe will bring about those opportunities in different ways each time. And we do right now have Pluto direct, but what we are going to have this month that's very powerful in the month of January is eclipses. And in fact, this year is a huge year. It really is setting the stage for very big collective changes that are coming up next year. But if there ever was a time for healing wounds and allowing closures, healthy karmic closures to take place, for redefining what is going to be the power in your life, and aligning with that sense of a higher vision for your life, this year really would be a powerful one as part of that process. We are going to have not only a whole bunch of eclipses this year, we are starting the year with an eclipse, we are ending the year with an eclipse, but we've also got a series of meetings of the south node of the moon and other power players, 3 meetings with Saturn, 1 meeting with Pluto. And so it does look like a time when, because the south node has to do with understanding what it is that has served its purpose in our lives, we are all going to get a chance to look at that and examine that more deeply for ourselves and what that means for us, uniquely for us.
And what about the north node?
Well, the north node has to do with the direction in which the soul desires to go in this lifetime. The main period that we are going to want to watch is right around the beginning of July. We are going to have a solar eclipse. That tends to bring us very quick moments that do bring us in alignment with the North Node, which is about a higher, more loving vision for our life. So that is something that we are going to want to watch with the activation of the North Node at that time. But next year has a whole lot of North Node activations. This year, it's a lot more about the South Node. And that's sort of the rhythm of the universe, how it works. So the most widely used nodes in modern astrology are the nodes of the moon. And every planet has nodes. And what the nodes represent are it's sort of like the planets walk a path around the sun. They will walk in the sky. And the south node is the most southerly point that planet will walk, and the north node is the most northerly point. And the nodes are the higher karmic intention of that planet. And so the planets speak to what we want, why we want it, how we go about getting it. But the nodes are about the deeper intention. What does the soul want to do with this energy? And how is it going to make itself known? The thing is that the moon is such a powerful symbol in astrology because it really has to do with so many things, our sense of belonging, our sense of family, our sense of connection to each other, and our sense of peace and being at peace with ourselves. And so it is the nodes of the moon being activated this year very powerfully with these meetings of Pluto and especially with Saturn, three meetings of Saturn. And so it does suggest a time when, because the south node is about essentially seeing our past differently, realizing where it is that we are ready for a healthy closure to take place. And the north node is about the new and the next and the direction in which we're going and who's coming in and the karmic contracts, the new people coming in and new opportunities coming in. And so this year is more about realizing what has served its purpose as part of moving towards the new and the next. But ultimately, what that next is going to be is going to show itself in very powerful ways in 2020.
Thank you for all of that, and thank you for being my guest today, and we're all looking forward to a wonderful 2019. I just to quickly close out, Nadia, nadiashaw.com. You can find all of her offerings on there, Astro Fabulous, Superstars, and everything that she's doing. It's so exciting. I just want to ask you quickly, Nadia, what is the most rewarding thing for you about being an astrologer?
To me, astrology is a vehicle where I get to live my spiritual principles about unity and equality and love and wisdom and higher purpose and a sense of connection to each other and to everyone and everything. And so astrology allows me to affirm these spiritual principles in the world, and that's part of what makes it so rewarding. And as part of that, I have talked about before, when I was a teenager, I was so incredibly depressed. And it was a very, very difficult time. And I remember how just the slightest kindness from a stranger, a nod, a smile, was enough to get me through one more day. And these are people I probably would not even realize if they walked by me today. I would not even remember. But in that moment, they were so important to my well-being. And so I really want to be that for somebody. Like, I want to be that voice. I want to be that comfort. I want to be that acknowledgement for somebody so that they know that there's better, that there's more, that there's a reason for hope, that they can keep going, whether it's for today or for this week or for this month, to be able to stay connected to that belief that whatever is happening in their life right now, however it feels, it is part of some wise and loving plan for their life. And that's the most rewarding and the best thing about what I do, best thing about doing what I do and being who I am, is that I get to affirm that and be that for people in the world.
And thank you for doing it. Thank you. You're doing it quite well.
I want to thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to From Here to There Radio, Demystifying the Journey, with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Diane is dedicated to helping you be in alignment with your purpose by implementing real-life strategies for getting unstuck and moving forward. For more information on this show or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com. That's DianeGarris.com.